Blog Talk Radio.
Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and welcome to Empower the Spirit. Today is June 13th, 2010. I'm your host, Doug Kelly. I'm so glad you could join me today. Here I am in Florida on a nice Sunday morning. Join the view from my patio. You'll hear birds chirping, and it's kind of positive and uplifting, I think. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, and our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit. This show addresses all kinds of metaphysical concepts and topics, but with a focus on practical life skills. Really, my goal is to enhance the human condition, both spiritually and physically, and so each week I'll talk about things that apply to your life, things you can use in a practical way in your life. I'll also take questions each week if they're available from you. You can also ask questions in the chat room. I'll try to get those if I can. And if you want to call in, I'll try to get to those calls too. Otherwise, you can email your questions to me, and I'll give you the email address at the end of the program. Before we get into today's topic, I want to address one email question that came in from the show last week. It's based on last week's show. We talked about Are You Star material last week. This question comes from Robert, and I'll just read his question. He asks, how would one reconcile free will with self-esteem? In particular, I noticed my girlfriend has very low self-esteem, especially when it comes to her adult children. She's almost afraid of them, or at least it seems afraid to upset them in any way. I could give many examples, but suffice it to say that she lets them walk all over her. I stay out of it until it affects me directly, but it often affects me at a secondary level. That is, our plans get changed when her children need something. I know it's her free will to have low self-esteem, but it's hard to watch. Well, let's see what we can do with this situation. It's clear from the email that the girlfriend obviously feels some sort of guilt or compulsion to please her adult children, and I personally think it's got to be something in the history. What guilt is she feeling over her kids? Now, this can be a lot of things. In this case, I believe it's the guilt of leaving their father, getting a divorce during their young years. Apparently, there was a lot of trouble involved in that, so she's got a sense of guilt. She has an overactive sense of trying to please them, trying to perhaps make up for the pain that they had to endure during that period. Of course, she's probably not really giving appropriate credence to her own pain, which she had to go through at the time, too. And so she's trying to please her adult children by going way above and beyond what's really required and what's really healthy. The thing to remember in situations like this is people have the right to not grow, and people have the right to retain low self-esteem. We talked about last week how this is really not low self-esteem, but them esteem, because they esteem others more than they do themselves. Their validation comes from pleasing others rather than internally. The interesting thing about the universe is that it presents lessons for us to learn all the time. Perhaps you've had a chance to read James Allen's book, As a Man Thinketh. It was written in the mid-19th century. Excellent book, not very long. You can get it in the bookstores. You can even get it free in PDF form online if you do a search. But there's a great point that James Allen makes in this book, essentially that any circumstance that we find ourselves in, any situation, is there as a learning opportunity. And once we learn the lesson, the spiritual lesson contained in that circumstance, it passes, it moves along, and it opens us up to further lessons or future lessons. So anytime we find ourselves in a circumstance that we don't like, we have to ask ourselves, well, what's the lesson? What should I be learning here? Now, a lot of times we know the lesson, but we really haven't learned the lesson. Is there a difference? Well, yeah, there is. For example, how many times have we said, I really shouldn't do that, but we do it anyway? Or we should do this, but we don't do it. You know, we know the lesson, but we really haven't learned it. Something amazing happens when we actually learn a lesson. And that thing that happens is we change. And that's the point. The universe gives us lessons to learn. And if we don't learn the lesson the first time, we get future opportunities to learn the same lesson. And they keep coming around until we learn that lesson and change. Once we change, the circumstance passes, and we move on to other learning opportunities. So, you know, do we have the human right of free will to not pay attention to those learning opportunities? Well, yeah, and a lot of people do. And what can you do about situations like that, especially when it involves somebody else that's close to you? Well, let's talk about that for a second. First of all, Robert, you're correct in staying out of it unless it directly affects you. That's obviously a good thing. But you also must accept that this is currently who your girlfriend is. This is who she is, and what is. And we cannot change what is unless it involves us personally, changing ourselves. So that's one thing to keep in mind. It is, she is who she is right now. One of the things that you can do is you can ask her if you can share a concern or an observation. But we have to be careful in not offering unsolicited advice to other adults. In this way, we respect their boundaries, and we don't seek to control them. So you can share a concern. You can share some of the things that you've learned, some of the answers I've given on this program and in other areas on the websites and so forth. There's also another aspect involved here, and it involves doing no harm, and that's the main topic today, or one of the main topics, and I'm going to apply another aspect of this when I get to that part in just a couple of minutes here. So let's get into the meat of today's topic, this week's topic, doing no harm, doing right, and paying it forward. This is the first principle of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, and so let me delve into that and make some application here. One of the greatest metaphysical principles in the world is do no harm. And this principle is embraced by millions of people around the world. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if it was embraced by billions of people around the world? Do you think we really see some serious changes, even more so than we see now? You bet we would. Wiccans are popular with this saying. In fact, they have a saying called the Wiccan Reed, or R-E-D-E. It's Middle English, means counsel or advice. And this Wiccan Reed says, and I quote, "And it harm none, do what ye will." Now, there's some variations on that. But basically, as long as it doesn't harm anybody, do what you want. So, you know, what constitutes harm? I mean, we could get into a philosophical discussion on what exactly constitutes harm. Well, let's keep it balanced. I'll give you some examples. Here's one: buying drugs for an addict, or alcohol for an alcoholic. If you do that, that of course wouldn't be healthy, and that's doing harm ultimately. How about driving an addict around, or how about this: driving somebody around, or taking care of somebody, spending money on somebody, supporting somebody who won't go out and get a job. Not somebody who can't get a job, but somebody who won't get a job. Similarly, addicts and alcoholics maybe have gotten a DUI, they've lost their license, so we can't cart them all over the place. That's not healthy either. Now, here's an application regarding Robert's case that I just talked about a few minutes ago. The thing his girlfriend doesn't understand is that she is ultimately not doing right by her adult children. In other words, she's doing harm to herself and to them by letting them unwittingly take advantage of her. She's not doing them any favors in the end. This, doing this kind of thing really fosters a sense of entitlement and unhealthy dependence on their part, and they can and will take this into the rest of their lives and relationships. One of the things that business managers and leaders have to deal with is a sense of entitlement. on the parts of their employees. Their employees feel like they're entitled to everything without really putting any effort into it. It's just kind of a common thing. We need to remember a fundamental principle that I've taught for years, and here it is. Never do something for another person that they could and should do for themselves. I'll repeat that. Never do something for another person that they could and should do for themselves. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's take an example I just mentioned. You have somebody, maybe it's an adult child, maybe it's a significant other. They will not go out and get a job. They're basically just mooching off you. They will not get a job. If you do things for them in this case, that would essentially define codependence, because codependence is doing things for other people they could and should do for themselves. But in the second example that I mentioned on that one, what if the person can't get a job? They've tried. They've looked everywhere. They're really after it. They're putting forth an effort, and they need some help here and there. Would it be okay in that case to help them? Yes, it would, because you're helping them out. But you're not doing something for them that they should be doing for themselves, because they're trying. It's healthy. In essence, don't do something that would harm another person in the mind of a balanced and reasonable individual. So instead of getting into all kinds of philosophical discussions on what constitutes harm, well, I don't think that's harm. Well, do you think that's harm? You know, we could all come up with that. Really, be reasonable about it. Is what I'm doing going to cause potential harm? You know, here's another example that I remember from years ago. Somebody had written and asked me, hey, you know, I'm happily married. I've been married for 20 years. I had an affair, you know, when I was married for 5 years. I mean, it was 5 years and I haven't said anything. It's gone. It's never happened again. That was 15 years ago in our marriage, you know, but I feel so guilty and I should tell my husband. And I'm thinking, why? You know, if you've learned your lessons and moved on and nothing bad has come of it in terms of any kind of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, anything like that, then what's the point of bringing it up? Just to salve your conscience? Well, you need to look elsewhere for that. Now, again, you've got to look at each case individually, but do no harm. Be reasonable about it. Do no harm. Let's see, another aspect of the principle of doing no harm is the application of it to oneself. We so often forget to apply this to ourselves. Do no harm to ourselves. Now, the primary way that so many of us harm ourselves is by having denigrating thoughts. I mean, we put ourselves down. You know, we put our self-worth down. Another example is enduring a toxic relationship that just needs to die. And that happens. That's part of life. Our thoughts literally create our reality. And if our thoughts about ourselves are negative, that is going to be our reality. You know, we've talked about this, you know, the vibe we send out. We all send out a vibe. Everybody does. And we can pick up on the vibes of other people. You've heard that. You've felt that. Another way to look at that is the energy that we put out to the universe. It's no different. It's the vibe we're sending out. If the vibe we're sending out, if the energy that we're putting out to the universe, to the world, to others is positive, then we, in essence, change that vibration. If we can convert it from negative to positive, we change that vibration that we send out to others. And by sending out those positive vibes, we have a positive effect on others. And that positive effect also is on ourselves, first and foremost. So by thinking positive thoughts and generally being positive, being grateful, that kind of thing, you know, we have a positive effect. We don't do harm to ourselves, and we don't do harm to other people. So the first principle here that I've discussed is do no harm. You can apply it literally everywhere. And honestly, this concept of do no harm is an enlightened concept. Any civilization that has become sufficiently enlightened does not harm each other. And this is why it's so crucial that we spread this throughout the planet. Let's not kill each other. Let's not harm each other. Now, as good as this principle is of doing no harm, it's not quite enough. We also need to do right. And this means taking positive action. when we see a need to do so. And listen to this, when we see a need and when it doesn't infringe on another person's right of free will. Doing right, or doing the right thing, as it's been called, can sometimes be as simple as holding the door for somebody whose arms are full, or helping somebody out whose car's broken down or out of gas on the highway. There's just a myriad of examples. Another example is a kindly smile now and then to somebody. We all know the power of a smile. I mean, we can probably remember a time when a total stranger gave us a nice, healthy smile just because, and it just lifts your spirits. It's just so nice. I remember those times. So get in the habit of just smiling at other people. I mean, be aware of your body language and give people a smile when it's appropriate. There's so many ways of doing right for other people. Just do a nice. We can see and look for opportunities to just do a nice. In fact, here's a little assignment if you want to embrace it. Why not spend the next 7 days looking for ways to do right, looking for opportunities to do a nice for those people you live with or you work with, or perhaps even strangers on the street. Now, of course, always use good judgment, discretion when dealing with strangers, but you get the idea. Look for those opportunities to do a nice. Now, there is perhaps a dark side to one's efforts to do the right thing for others, and we kind of get back into the realm of codependence here. And this is when those efforts to do right, no matter how well-intentioned, infringe on another person's right of free will. In other words, a boundary violation. We need to know the limits of our responsibility when it comes to doing right. For example, trying to get another adult to eat healthier or exercise or stop smoking or whatever is really overstepping our bounds. We are violating their human right of free will. We are encroaching on their bounds, and we don't have that right. It goes right back to what I said a few minutes ago. You never give unsolicited advice to another adult because that's in essence trying to control them. You can share a concern. You can share an observation if they're willing, but you don't try to control them. When we try to do right by controlling others, it's just not healthy, and it will, mark my words, it will lead to a destruction of the relationship. The relationship will not last. And what right do we have to, in essence, determine for the other person what their belief system should be? When we try to control other people, when we try to do right, the right thing, by encouraging them or pressuring them to do something according to our own core values and belief system, you know, that's, again, it's an attempt to control. That's all it is. We have no right to insist that other people live by our own core values. It gets right back into that free will. You know, people have the right of free will to be who they are. We also have the human right of free will to either accept that or not. Remember, what is, and you can't change what is unless that's with you. And if you don't like what is about another person, then you have the option of not being with that person or around that person. That is life. I'd like to read a quote by a man by the name of James Francis Burns. I can't get a lot of information about him, but I've tried. He wrote a great quote. He said, "I discovered at an early age that most of the difference between average people and great people can be explained in three words. And then some." That's the three words. Top people do what is expected of them, and then some. They're considerate and thoughtful of others, and then some. They meet their obligations and responsibilities fairly and squarely, and then some. They are good friends, and then some. They can be counted on in an emergency, and then some. End quote. Isn't that a great concept? Can you imagine applying that at work? Can you imagine how much better your work life might be if you added "and then some" to what you do? Or if you're a manager or leader, you try to encourage your employees to add "and then some" to what they do. If we always go just a little bit more, a little extra mile, everybody is going to benefit, and we will too. I mean, there's a practical technique right there to enhance your work life, to enhance your relationships. Just remember that, "and then some." And when we do that, folks, and when we don't try to control others, but we try to do the right thing, we look for those opportunities, we do right. And by doing right, we don't do any harm. There's a third aspect to today's topic that I want to explore briefly. And it's the concept of paying it forward. You've probably seen the movie. In 2000, author Catherine Ryan Hyde released her book, Pay It Forward. Not long after that, she formed the Pay It Forward Foundation. And, of course, the movie came out not long after that, starring Kevin Spacey, Helen Hunt, and Haley Joel Osment. You know, I love that movie. It's got such a beautiful theme to it. And if you've seen it, you know what it's all about. Paying it forward simply means the recipient of a favor does a favor for a third party rather than paying it the favor back to the first individual. So you pay it forward to somebody else. Somebody does a nice, you pay it forward. You do a nice for somebody else. In the book and in the movie, this paying it forward kind of took the form of a multi-level marketing scheme or pyramid scheme, which is a great idea. You know, somebody does you a favor, you pay it forward three times. You go do something nice for three other people, and then those three people each do something nice for three other people. I mean, what an incredible concept, altruistic concept, an enlightened concept. I love the concept. There's also another similar teaching. It's called the Law of Amra. A-M-R-A, Amra. It's a Rosicrucian teaching and practice. Dates back to ancient Egypt. It involves giving back in some way for the good things we've received in life. If somebody has done something nice for us, we repay that back to the universe, quote-unquote, by doing something for others, donating to a good cause or sharing our time to a good cause, something like that, whatever it takes. It's a great concept to think about, and it's a great idea to start practicing in our lives. How can we pay it forward? How can we pay it forward at work? Well, we could pay it forward by remembering that quote I just read, and then some, adding and then some to what we do. You know, whatever we're into, do we have a hobby? Do we have some kind of a nonprofit thing we do? Whatever it is we do, cleaning the house. Clean the house and then some. Clean the kitchen and then some. I guess I better remember that because, you know, I'm cleaning the kitchen half the time. But this is a great, great concept. How can we pay it forward to other people? I've already listed some ways. Smiling, holding the door, being a decent person, looking for ways to donate our time, our talents, even our finances to good causes. You can find a myriad of opportunities to pay it forward. But think about this, a little bit of a different slant to it and a little bit more in line of this law of Amra. When we get something, when somebody does a nice for us or we get something, maybe we have a lucky break, we earn a little bit more, something comes our way, we win the lottery, whatever it is. Why not think, how can we just pay back a little bit? And it's got to be of our own free will. This is generosity we're really talking about. How can we give back just a little bit? You know, if the whole world was doing that, wouldn't it raise the vibrational level of humanity? Wouldn't it empower a lot of people? Look for ways to give back. I mean, there's so many. We often see people on the street who are asking for money. Well, you know, that's a tough choice at times because sometimes giving them money is actually doing harm, isn't it? But other times it may not be. You know, I remember my dad told me a story, an experience he had in New York City when he was young, a young man, long before I was a gleam in his eye. He was walking down the street one night with a friend. It was raining, and of course they were in a part of New York City in Brooklyn where, you know, there were a lot of people asking, a lot of homeless people, things like that, and he's walking down the sidewalk talking to his friend, and he's walking along and realizes his friend is no longer by his side. He looks back, and his friend is helping an old man up off the ground, off the street, and my dad had kind of just blown by that. He'd seen the old guy, but went right by him. He didn't hear what the old man said. The old man wasn't asking for money. He had fallen, and he was asking for help to get back up. And my dad's friend caught that. well, you know, who learned the lesson here? Well, my dad really learned a lesson to pay attention to things like that, but he also told me about it, and it made a huge impression on me too, as it did him. You know, we got to look a little deeper at times rather than automatically assume. We all do that. We all assume. We all make those kinds of things, mistakes, but it's important that we learn that lesson, that we learn how to distinguish between, you know, doing harm and doing right. So we've talked about a number of things in today's broadcast. We've talked about an email on self-esteem and free will, doing no harm, doing right. Again, I recommend that you take the next 7 days and just look for opportunities to do right. Look for opportunities to do a nice. And make that a part of who you are. Bring that into your own core values. And by so doing, what do? You raise your own vibrational level, but you raise the vibrational level of those people that you interact with in your own sphere of influence. And if we can get enough people doing this where our spheres of influence are overlapping, we are going to do some good for this planet and for our future. Here's a couple of quotes that I'd like to share with you here on this whole topic. The first one's by Michael Josephson. He's an ethicist and radio commentator. He wrote, "People of character do the right thing not because they think it will change the world, but because they refuse to be changed by the world. Neither the intensity of your feelings nor the certainty of your convictions is any assurance that you are right. The real test of character is whether you will do the right thing even when it costs more than you want to pay." Another quote I'd like to read to you from Albert Pike, a 19th century attorney, writer, and Freemason. He wrote this, "What we have done for ourselves alone dies with us. What we have done for others in the world remains and is immortal." Excellent quotes. What are you doing that will remain and be immortalized as a legacy to your ancestors, or your descendants, I should say? Next week, we're going to be talking about principle number two. We've talked about principle number one tonight, or today, this morning, of doing no harm and doing right. There's more information at mchschurch.org on these principles. But next week, we'll talk about the indomitable power of the human spirit. I will discuss how powerful we are as human beings and how we can channel that power into accomplishing good and fulfilling our life's purpose. I'm also going to talk about ways that we can discover our life's purpose. This will cover MCHS principle of belief number two. You are welcome to email me your questions about relationships and life and metaphysics, things like that. Send them to admin@mchschurch.org. Again, these questions can be about life, relationships, or other metaphysical topics, any kind of advice you're looking for, or just a different opinion, a second opinion, so to speak. If you like what you're hearing, I invite you to join the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Again, you can find us on the web at mchschurch.org. There's also a link on the VTR page. Well, that wraps up the second edition of this show of Power of the Spirit. Please join me next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern for another empowering topic. Until then, this is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Thanks for listening, and have an awesome day.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Empower the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated. Copyright 2010. Visit us on the web at mchschurch.org.